Paul asked me to preach today in English, so I'm going to preach on James, what he actually preached not that long ago. But I just had a lot of notes that I put together, and I just decided to talk about James chapter 1. So if you open your Bibles to James chapter 1, we'll just read verse 2, from 2 till 8. So James 1, 2 to 8. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know what the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So I put together a list of how people, the unbelievers and some Christians, see trials. So some say that trials are a form of punishment for sins that we committed. Others say that once we reach a certain level of spiritual maturity, all of our trials will just disappear and we will succeed in everything we do. And some think that the penalty of sin affects generations and that we are carrying a burden from our ancestors. And others think that there's no such thing as hardships. Trials such as pain, sickness, suffering, and death are just fragments of our imagination. But of course, as Christians, we do know that we have trials that we have to go through. And in James, the first chapter just opens up and gives us the proper attitude toward trials. All right, so we read in the first verse 2, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." So I was thinking, when I was reading this verse, you know, I was thinking, if an unbeliever reads this verse, he might think, you know, what a strange verse this is. Count it all joy. Be happy when someone died for my family or I lost a job or... just be happy, you know, that I failed the test and getting kicked out from college. How can I be happy? Well, James is telling us that he's pretty much telling us that it is a human response to trials that are anger, depression, chaos, hurt, stress, and in some cases even suicide, right? But the truth is that when we face trials, we have to face them joyfully. And the reason for that is that when we face them joyfully, we know that trials produce stronger faith. It builds our endurance, stability, and toughness. Right? So through trials and hardships and daily challenges, God builds his warriors to have Christ-like character so that we can accomplish his purpose. And what's interesting, if you go back to verse 3, the word testing. So the word testing, if you translate it into Greek, in Greek it means dokimos, meaning approval or make proof of. So if you go on Google and Google this word, you know, testing, translation to Greek, you'll get this word dokimos. And what's interesting about this word is dokimos is found on many ancient pieces of pottery that is dug up by archaeologists. And this word is found to be inscribed on the bottom of this pottery. You know, this word, dokimos. And what it meant was that it meant that this specific pottery went through the furnace and went through the fire and it came out without any cracks or voids. It had been approved. It was stamped with approval, the word dokimos. So here, James is saying that it is God's desire for his children to go through fires of trials and then come out with God's stamp of approval as complete without any voids or cracks, pretty much lacking in nothing. So just to summarize these four verses, James commands us to receive trials with joy because the life that we're given right now is just a training program, a stepping block for the eternal life. And there's this famous quote that I actually heard John MacArthur quoted a few weeks ago. There's a quote, "The worth of a soldier is never known in times of peace." So the worth of a soldier is never known in times of peace. And I come up with two reasons why we give up during trials. There's two reasons. The first reason is we lack wisdom. And we can see that in verse 5, right? And so James is talking about the testing of our faith, and then immediately he transitions to talk about wisdom. So in verse 5, we read, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and will be given him." So James is saying that we may not be prepared to face our trials, but with prayer to our Heavenly Father, asking for wisdom, we'll definitely be ready to accomplish anything that is thrown in our life. And when I was thinking about that, I was just reminding myself of a time when I was in elementary school. This was back in Ukraine. I was in first grade. I was just a small little guy, you know, skinny. And there was this bully in my class. And for some reason, he just focused his attention on me. And so I came home and asked my dad, you know, "Dad, how can I deal with this bully? What should I do?" And he, not only did he give me his wisdom, but he also was there to back me up when I stood up to this, you know, this bully in elementary school. And so James is pretty much saying the same thing. We need to ask our Heavenly Father for wisdom, so that he will back us up and give us the right directions, what to do and how to handle stress or the trials that we're going through. So if you like wisdom, just ask God for it. It is available to us. And my second point is why we flunk out during trials is that we lack faith. As we read that in James, James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. So it says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So what does a double-minded man mean? Well, it's a person who wants his will, his own will, and God's at the same time. So deep inside, they're still weak to completely submit themselves to God. Right? So one side is turned towards God, while the other side, or the other part, is turned towards the world. So one side believes God, whereas the other side disbelieves. And you can say that this person is fighting a civil war inside himself. He's fighting himself. And a good example of this is Peter. When Peter tried to walk on water, right, we see that he started doubting himself. So if you open to Matthew chapter 14 and go to verse 22, we're just going to briefly read the story. Verse 22 through 31. "So immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up upon the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was long away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" So this verse reminds me, when I was reading it, it just reminds me of myself. You know, like the first, when I face a trial, I'm really confident that I'm going to get through this, that God's going to help me through this. But once I'm hit with reality and I see the storms that are surrounding me, I immediately start to sink. I start to doubt myself. Instead of looking for wisdom to God, I look on my own wisdom. I look on my own wisdom, which is not right. As we read in James, we should be asking God for wisdom. I just wanted to, before I close this, I just wanted to read Psalm 142. This is a prayer of David, of how he prayed to God when he was going through trials. So if you open your Bibles to Psalm 142, I'm just going to read verse 1 through 7. So Psalm 142, verse 1 through 7. "With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden the trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is no one. Take notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. Amen.